Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, coming to you from the megacity metropolis of Toronto. I'm your host, Eric Anthony, and this week, Daphne J is not with us. She is out and about having the time of her life. So in her place, it's my favorite host to do the podcast with, our wild card. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
How's it going, buddy?
It's going pretty good.
And Daph J, we know that you're going to listen to this, and I'm just kidding. You are our favorite host. I just have to come up with something clever on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, being that it is officially, we are in full force 2016, I thought it would only be fitting. Last year, we did a best of 2014 while we were in New York City, me and Daph J. So this year, I thought, why don't we do this again? I'm going to get our wild card's take on what he enjoyed about 2016. Everybody enjoys hearing yearly reviews, best movies, best music, best books. We'll do our best at giving you what we thought was the best of the year for us.
Mm-hmm.
So how was 2015 for you? When you look back at the year, even though it's just been a couple weeks since it ended, but 2015, was it a red letter year, if you will?
I wouldn't say it came out with anything super fantastic, except for it was our 10-year anniversary.
Mm.
So, I mean, that was pretty special.
You and
Little Sparrow.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So that is pretty epic. That's big news.
It started us on our trek through records and record players and learning about that. So that was, again, another thing that got us into another genre of music, or style, I would say, of music.
Yeah, so, another hobby of collecting and listening to music, of course.
Mm-hmm.
What else stood out for you being your 10th year? Was there any events, any special things that happened because of it?
Well, our good friends took us out.
Okay.
They really tried to surprise us, but we had some family members that just couldn't handle that. One of them had to blow it, and then the other one had to be there in the entranceway right when we walked in. But other than that, it was that worked out really well.
Do you like surprises?
I'm good with them. If I know that there's a surprise coming up, I don't like surprises.
The question is, were you expecting? Because everyone thinks, like, okay, this is, you know, it's a 10-year, 20-year... There are people kind of have those milestones in their life where they're expecting there to be a surprise. Were you and Little Sparrow expecting something like that to happen? Did you have your suspicions?
Yeah, I think we suspected that there might be something, but from who, where, we didn't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy?
Oh yeah.
The outing, and
it was fun. You know, it was nice to be with everyone. I've never been there. A little plug for the Sultan's Tent, if you're in Toronto. You may as well try it. It's really cool atmosphere.
Yeah it is.
They got us belly dancing, which I've never done before. I probably won't do it again. No one wants to see that.
You did well.
Everyone said that Little Sparrow did way better.
It's one of those things you can't forget, right?
Yeah.
That's how you always put it. I remember we went to the beginning of the year of 2015. We went up to the ski lodge, did some snowboarding. What was that thing that you have for warmth? You bought that special...
yeah, that was the what's that called? The layer?
It was some sort of special layer, base layer.
Base layer, yeah.
When you put it on, you're like...
You can't unsee it.
You can't unsee it, that's the word.
It shows everything. Everybody needs some stretchy bands.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the belly dancing, right? Once it happens, you can't unsee that.
No.
One of the things in relation to your 10th year anniversary, it wasn't celebrated at that same time of year. It was a couple months later when we went to watch Back to the Future with the orchestra. That was as much of a gift for me as it was for you. I was happy to be included in that one.
That was one of the favorites, because that one will stick around for a while. I mean, that we did 10 gifts for 10 years. I don't recommend it. If
Daph J, don't listen to him. Yeah. If you want to get me 10 gifts out of 10 years, no problem.
So if you're a gift planner, aficionado, if that's the right word for it, then I would say go for it. If you can come up with things pretty quickly. I'm still working on my sixth.
You guys are going to get into your 11th year.
I know, that's the problem. So that's the thing. If you really know how to stick to that plan, then that's good. But I really struggled. Little Sparrow did not.
That's okay. You know what? I find the whole gift-giving thing, especially for a spouse or a close relative, it gets the wheels turning in your head. It really makes you realize, how well do I know this person,
mm-hmm.
right? I was doing that this year with Daph J, trying to get her little gifts every month, whether it be like a record for her or something related to her camera. And when it came to our anniversary, I had run out of ideas almost, mm-hmm. because it was like I've been getting her little things each month. Now I'm like, what is she going to expect now? And she doesn't. And the good thing is she doesn't have that high expectation of mm-hmm. stuff, but it does make you test how well you know a person's tastes and preferences. Mm-hmm. So it's never a bad thing to be giving gifts to each other.
Oh.
With that said, this year, was it the year where, as far as media is concerned and stuff that we take in pop culture, was it the year that kept on giving? Would you say that it was a lot to be remembered?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd say specifically Marvel and I guess Disney, if that's how that works, right?
They run the world.
So, I mean, they really did take over. Thinking about DC, on the other hand, they came out with 2 trailers. That's all I can think of.
Okay, let's break it down as we get into some of our favorite things. We'll tell you what we enjoyed, and then maybe we'll tell you things that we're going to anticipate for 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you want to start off with? You kick it off with one of your favorite things of the year.
So, I'm going to start off with a non-2015 item.
Okay.
But it was better in 2015. So, I would say that Gotham really improved by the second year.
Okay.
First year, it had some weird moments. I would say second season improved greatly. So that was my first pick for 2015. I really love that show.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's completely legitimate. It doesn't have to have been released in 2015, but it was something that... So you're saying season 2
mm-hmm.
that just came out in, what, October, I guess it would be?
I don't know when it starts. Yeah. It was good. I guess it's not done yet, the season 2.
So what is it about the second season that makes it worth, that makes it better than what everyone had originally thought Gotham was?
Well, they really get into the plot line of now Bruce Wayne, they're trying to take over his life, basically. That's their role in the second season. The first season is a bunch of goofy characters all being displayed. It was a lot about Detective Gordon. He was like a big feature in his thing with his girlfriend and all this kind of stuff, which kind of takes away from the main story.
Okay. So you felt this year they're giving you more of what you wanted.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot more Bruce.
A lot more Bruce.
Alfred.
Yeah. Well, the way that Bruce is now going to become a man, you're starting to see that more.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm a huge Batman fan, but as you know, I never gave Gotham more of a chance. I got up to, I think, 7 or 8 episodes of it, and I liked it enough that I'm like, okay, this has potential to go somewhere. But then at the same time, I didn't feel, knowing what you know about Batman, I didn't feel that connection to it. I think we spoke about it in mm-hmm. a couple of episodes where we got a letter
mm-hmm.
in regards to it. But it's good to hear from your perspective that it's something that you really, really enjoyed. So mm-hmm. is that your television show, your favorite television show of 2015?
So even though it's high up there, I would still say it would be my maybe second in line.
Second in line. Okay, yeah. So what takes the cake for you?
Agent Carter.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about Agent Carter, because that's one that I also didn't get a chance to watch.
So this is where they came out with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
mm-hmm.
Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was like kind of a bit of a not like they're more comedy as well as the drama and the action. I felt like with Agent Carter, it was a lot more serious from the start. So you're watching this, like, there's real issues going on. It's not just made-up issues because they're in this airship flying around together in close quarters. That's like they made that scenario up where she's in the 40s as a woman trying to be in this special organization, which she gets treated completely differently than everyone else does. So you're seeing that aspect of things. You're seeing a different era, and I'd have no idea about her character at all. So for me, that was cool to watch a character start and learn about her when you have no knowledge of her other than the one movie. Because okay. I've never read anything about Agent Carter.
Me neither. I know that from what I know about Agent Carter is that in the Captain America Winter Soldier, it's her niece who is the neighbor of Steve mm-hmm. Rogers. Mm-hmm. Remember that scene where she goes, I have to go and visit my aunt? The first time she introduced herself as a nurse doing her laundry. So okay. she's known as Agent 13 in the Captain America universe, okay. and they have a love interest with each other.
Right.
So I which is kind of creepy when you think about the fact that Peggy and Steve kind of had a...
Right.
But that's the comic books, comparing comic books to movies. I don't think it relates the same way. But yeah, I didn't know anything about Agent Carter either, other mm-hmm. than what I saw in Captain America, the first one. Is there anything in Agent Carter that references things from the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Is there any, like, Easter eggs or things pointing to...
I would say there has to be, but I don't know enough about the Marvel Universe to get them.
Okay.
Because they're talking about organizations, and I've heard things about how someone said that she's supposed to start S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know if that's true. I'm still figuring it out as I go. So I kind of like that, where I'm in this fresh. World. It's all free. Yeah. The only person that you really know is
Howard Stark.
Howard Stark.
So okay. So he's in the show.
He's in there. So, and that's cool, too. They took movie characters, and they're playing them in the show instead of getting a whole new crew to play this. They stuck with the originals, which is cool.
Okay. Do you watch S.H.I.E.L.D. as well?
I do, but not very much yet. Okay. I'm still at season one at the beginning of it. I find if I'm going to sit down for an hour, I usually try to find something interesting that my wife will like too.
Right, right.
Whereas that one, if I'm by myself, then that'll be something I'll watch.
Yeah. The tough thing is, speaking on television, is that there's so much out there now. Like, it's been referenced, we're in the golden age of television when it comes to this genre mm-hmm. stuff of sci-fi and comic books. Like, we're seeing stuff that we only would dream of, and you never thought, if someone had said, you know, they're gonna do this one day, it would never have happened, because mm-hmm. you think of some of the things they're putting on there and it's like, this is so ridiculous, but it's great that they're doing it finally. Mm-hmm. On the topic of television, I loved Flash. Mm. That show blew me away. I was worried that seeing how successful Green Lantern was, now they're trying to go for another character who I thought would have a lot of potential, but they had done this before mm-hmm. back in the early 90s, and obviously it was a different era, different time. There wasn't as much that they could do. But seeing what they did with Flash and not holding back any of the cheesy villains or the things that would be like, oh, that just looks ridiculous. You can't have a talking gorilla. Like, they didn't shy away from anything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's safe to say now that the Flash as a series has surpassed Arrow, maybe, in how many people are onto it and seeing how interesting it is.
Yeah, I would say I would agree with that. And you meant Green Arrow, not Green Lantern, right?
Green Arrow. Did I say Green Lantern?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, Green. And I'm looking at a Green Arrow book now. I meant Green Arrow, absolutely. Yes.
So,
it's better than Green Arrow, Green Lantern as well.
Yeah, so when we were watching Green Arrow, no one took it seriously, especially for the first season. And you try to tell people to watch it, and they're like, yeah, no, I don't feel like watching it. Whereas Flash, I feel like you can tell people to watch it, and off they go.
Yeah.
They'll just enjoy it.
And there's so many elements to it that I feel it attracts a wide range. Like, it's got the sci-fi, the time travel, the superhero, but also the familial relationships between Barry and his father, Barry and Iris. As cheesy as it gets, there's always those moments that I feel are a little bit more, they hit home a little more than Arrow's would, mm-hmm. when they would always try to get emotional. And there's always be that scene with Laurel and her father about to cry every episode. Mm-hmm. But I feel like with Flash, you feel it more.
Mm-hmm.
When they had that season finale of the first season of Flash, where he goes back to try to save his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
If anybody hasn't been watching Flash, definitely give it a shot. That's one of my picks for favorite television show of 2015.
How would you rate DC over Marvel in their TV shows?
I think DC, when it comes to the television shows, is what on TV, what Marvel is to the cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. I think that they're... I haven't watched Agent Carter or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I tried to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I couldn't get into it when it first came out. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's better now.
Mm-hmm.
But DC, between Arrow, Supergirl now, which was a surprise hit for me. Mm-hmm. I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
Flash. And they do all of these crossovers, introducing all of these characters. They're not scared to show the Atom, Hawkman, John Jones, the Martian Manhunter. It's mm-hmm. like, I never thought that they would even put these guys in a movie at one time, because like, how do you translate such a ridiculous concept? But they're making it work. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen Legends of Tomorrow.
Not yet, no.
The trailer. Have you seen the trailer for it? It looks like so much fun.
When does that come out?
Next week.
Oh, okay.
Next Thursday, the 21st of January. So, yeah, I think they're doing so much good on TV. And it's, I think, in large part because it's a... same producers that are doing Arrow, Flash, Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting comic book people involved in it. And they're throwing things out there. I remember the Andrew Kreisberg, the showrunner for Flash, he was, and Arrow, he was being interviewed. And he's like, you know, we didn't think we'd get more than 10 episodes of Green Arrow. So we said, let's reference this, because we probably won't ever get a chance to do anything with it. So as the show got successful, they're like, well, you know, we referenced Nanda Parbat, so we kind of have to show Ra's al Ghul now. And they're like, I guess you're right.
Mm.
Whereas maybe if they had tried to slide that in slowly, episode per episode, they probably would have been not allowed to do that or given a chance, because it's a Batman character and all that jazz. So I think it's really cool what they're doing with their shows. But having said that, I can't take away from what Marvel has done for television series when it comes to their Netflix.
Mm.
Daredevil was an incredible show. I haven't gotten through Jessica Jones, but man, I think Daredevil's the best thing Marvel has created thus far. That's my opinion.
It's good. It's just I feel like for everyone to watch it, you can watch the other ones kids can watch. This one specifically, I would say, you wouldn't want a kid to watch it.
No, absolutely not. I agree with you 100% on that. I think when I say it's the best that they made, it's maybe not the most accessible to a large audience, but staying true to the character. And when you think of the Daredevil that Ben Affleck was in, right? Mm. I don't know if you ever seen that one.
Yes, I did.
And it's one of those things where don't let anybody... don't let anybody watch it, child or adult, because it's just a big rush of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But this one really does the slow burn of building up these characters, building up a villain, making you understand the psychology behind it. And the type of character it is, it shouldn't be so kid-friendly to do the story properly, which is why I'm happy that they said, you know what, this one, we're going to make it edgy, and it has to be successful based on how close it is to the source material. But my favorite show of the year wasn't a comic book related show. Favorite show of the year was Suits. That's my favorite.
I haven't seen a lot of this season.
Of the season 5. It's okay, it's always better to watch it, to binge watch it.
That's right.
But that's my favorite show. It's the one that I can't wait to come back.
Mm.
It's got six more episodes. It's I don't know. It plays. It airs in a very different way because it's not your 24, 23 episode seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So the last six are starting at the end of the month, of this month.
Okay.
And what a cliffhanger they left you on.
Mm.
If you want some good drama.
Mm-hmm.
Season 5 is good.
So this is a question for you. So now all these Netflix shows, I don't think Agent Carter was.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So I'm noticing that a lot of the TV shows that Marvel's doing is 8 episodes. That's it. Then they're done for the season and you're like, oh, okay, what do I do? And then so you move on to another show.
I think that's what DC's doing with The Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
It's like middle of the season series of 8 episodes, like a short mini series, right. And then they move on. And I think they're doing a second Agent Carter.
They are making season it. 2. Season yes. 2, yeah.
Is it on already?
19th, I think it starts up.
Oh, that's soon.
Yeah, I was actually kind of excited because we just finished it the beginning of January during the break is when we watched it. So
Agent Carter over Gotham for you.
Mm hmm.
Over everything. Agent Carter over The Flash, over...
I think so. I don't know. I really liked... It feels like you're watching a movie. I feel like when you watch The Flash, you're watching a TV show.
Right.
Even with Daredevil, those ones are still... I felt more like movies when I was watching them.
Right.
But, yeah. I do like the 8-episode seasons. Just to keep it nice and simple, the episodes are not short. They're nice and they're full and there's not just one little thing going on. It's a whole bunch of things that all tie together at the end.
Okay, I want to check this out. Is it on Netflix yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, I want to check out Agent Carter. I saw a short of Agent Carter on the Iron Man 3, I want to say. Iron Man 3 or Iron Man 2 DVD.
Mm.
And it was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. And I like that actress. She does a good job playing that character, so... Yeah, I'd like to give it a shot. I don't like S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't think I'm gonna invest the time into it. It's just there's so much to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch Gotham. I just
I've
chosen to watch Supergirl over Gotham, but anyhow. Anything else from television that stood out for you?
Let's see. No, that was my main ones.
That was the main ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other shows are just carry-on shows that we've been watching. We tried to finish up a few shows that we hadn't got a chance to 2 years ago, so we kind of caught up.
That's the other thing, too, right? Like, there's so much accessible on Netflix that you end up watching stuff that is no longer on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you did in 2015. It's like your new discovery. It's completely different how we take in this stuff. Okay, what do you want to move on to next?
Hmm.
What do you think? Do you have any picks for music?
So, there's no music that I felt was just like took us by storm.
I don't know. That Justin Bieber track is pretty hot right now.
Which one?
Oh, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay, good. yeah, no. Like, there's nothing I really liked in 2015.
I think you're not telling us the truth. You seem like the type of guy who had a heavy rotation in his car on the way to work or on the way home, Drake's Hotline Bling. And I imagine you having your screensaver be Drake dancing to Hotline Bling, and you were probably making memes. Yeah. What did you think when you saw that video?
Well, here's the funny thing is I'm out of the loop. I'm over 30 now, so
getting
I have a feeling.
Old.
Yeah, I have a feeling that everyone else had already caught on to this way past when I did. But I started seeing memes everywhere, and I was very confused. I do have to say, I'm like, what is this stupid meme everywhere? And then when I finally figured it out, I haven't stopped laughing since.
Yeah.
So it's worth it. If any listeners are posting these, this is awesome. Continue doing that.
What's your favorite one?
I like the Star Wars one. I like the Wii Tennis.
Yeah.
Because there's no music. It's just... and it makes me laugh. every time.
And that's the thing, is that I love that he made it. Because one, okay, it's a music video for a club song, and he's dancing in his music video, which is, you know, that's what music videos are.
Mm-hmm.
But then the fact that there is so much that people have done with it to be creative, and I can't believe all of these little portions of that video they're able to do, like you said, Wii Tennis.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Salsa Merengue mm-hmm. renditions of it. They have Mario Kart.
Yep.
The theme song to Mario Kart where he's dancing to that. The lightsaber one was great. They've made ones with Obama.
Mm-hmm.
it's the video that keeps on giving.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but if that's the best song of the year, I hope 2016 is better. Because, you know, I really like Mumford and Sons.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's true. Sorry, you know, I didn't think about that. There's some songs that I just or some singers, bands I didn't think through. You're right. That would be better.
Listen to us two. Over 30-year-old men talking about Taylor Swift.
Better than Drake.
We need to really check what's on our playlist right now. Actually, for me, there was one album that was released in 2015 that I enjoyed, which was Leon Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
It maybe because it has a throwback feel to it. I know Adele had come out and taken, you know, the charts by storm, and I haven't listened to that album fully yet, so mm-hmm. I can't comment on it. But I think, I don't know about you guys, but for me and Daft J, having bought the turntable and listening to vinyl, I'm not going to be like, oh, my tastes are superior now, but the stuff that I'm going to the store to look for is not so much the most contemporary stuff. It's more the stuff where I know, okay, this is an album where you play from beginning to end.
Right.
An album that had just come out last week, I'm not as inclined to purchase it
mm-hmm.
on $25 to $30 vinyl.
Right.
So I think maybe that has affected how much new music I may have purchased this year. That mm-hmm. has really gotten me, like, I gotta go to the store and get that.
We bought a lot of older music.
Mostly,
right?
Oh, man, I've bought a ton of music in these last couple of months, so I can't say that my music collection has diminished. It's gotten bigger, but it's, like you said, what you're listening to, what you're looking for is different.
Mm-hmm.
Bought some albums that are 30 years old, 40 years old, that we're kind of finding out for the first time.
It's true.
But Leon Bridges, I recommend. It's R&B, it's a soulful, he's a new artist from Atlanta. But his album is good from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm. We have that one too.
Yeah, that was
very good.
That was a good find that I felt for me.
I didn't realize he was 2015. That's good. He was also in Suits, I think.
His song,
yeah.
Yes. Did you guys see that episode?
I thought we did.
That's the end of it. If you've seen the episode where that song plays, that's the last episode this season of Suits.
So maybe we did. I don't remember it now.
River. It was the song titled River. So if you've seen that episode, I don't want to say what the episode was about because it could spoil it for you if you haven't.
Yeah.
But I heard it there and I'm like, okay, I'm really liking this music. So I picked that up. And as far as I bought the Force Awakens soundtrack at the end of 2015, which is good, but you know what you're getting with that.
Right.
Did you see, I should have sent the picture to you guys, they've released all six of the soundtracks for each movie in like a little box set on vinyl.
Oh, sorry, so all six, like the main ones, the sequel, prequels?
Yeah, all of them.
Awesome.
Really awesome. It's got a pretty hefty price tag on it, but oh man, those would be nice to have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What about games?
Video games?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't kept up with video games. You're more of the in the loop for that stuff.
There's only one and I haven't had a chance to play it. But
okay.
I really want to play.
Okay.
Because my laptop cannot play it. That's the problem I have. The graphics are just too good for it. The Star Wars Battlefront looks amazing.
My little brother has that.
Oh, yeah?
He said it's really good. I've also been told that Arkham Knights, Batman Arkham Knights. Did you play that?
I haven't played that one yet.
Not me neither. It's just finding time.
Yeah.
With all the stuff that you got, like, between... My free time is usually on the train coming home from work where I'm reading comic books. And so once I get home, playing a video game, I don't know. It's just squeezing that into the daily routine is really tough. But, man, I'd love to play that game. But I'd have to buy a new system, and it's like... That sign of getting old.
Well, I gotta buy a whole new video game system.
When you're a kid, it's like that's all you're working for. Oh boy. Okay. How about comic books? You've been reading a lot of comic books this past year.
I don't know when they came out though.
That's okay. That's okay. Is there anything that you feel is relatively? Actually, you've read The Invincible up until 2015.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is pretty... You read the entire series.
Yeah.
But it does stretch into 2015.
Mm-hmm. It's made me want to learn more about the other characters. But not to the point where I've started reading them yet. I've kind of looked into them to seeing what's out there. For they have two other groups. Now, it's been a while since I've read them. But there's two other teams that I'm interested in seeing if there's comics specifically for them. But yeah, that's a really good series. I got to 116 or something like that book.
I think that came out in 2015. Mm-hmm. If not, who cares? It's what you've discovered in the year.
Mm-hmm.
You also read Ultimate Spider-Man, correct?
Yep. I think I'm missing the last three books, so I got to finish that up. I don't know how it ends.
I'll give them to you.
I still haven't figured it out.
No, I'll give them to you. Are you up to the point where they've changed artists?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll give you those last three books.
So that'll be cool. Very good series so far. When they switched, I was a little confused, but I kind of figured out what was going on with that idea that there was a major event and then suddenly there was a change of artists.
Okay.
That's kind of cool. I like that. Yeah, no, it was one of the better ones that I've read.
Yeah, you've read two series where it's had the same writer throughout, which is rare.
Right.
So I'd like to get your take when you
start jumping. Well, I read some of that Batman. Is it Uncanny or Ultimate? No. I forget what that series was, but it felt like it was different for each. It felt almost like different for each one.
Was it a New 52 title?
Yeah.
Was it Legends of the Dark Knight?
No.
Detective? That's no. Okay. Batman Eternal?
Batman Eternal, that's the one.
Okay, yeah. It had a rotating group of writers telling one story.
Right.
That kind of tie in together. I never finished that. I got to like issue 22 or 23.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got overwhelmed by the stack of Batman Eternal comics that I was getting every week. It was coming out weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Which for some, that's great, because waiting every month sometimes gets you out of it.
Yeah.
But to keep up with it weekly, that's... I don't know, it sounds stupid to say that, but because there's other stuff that every week you're, oh, I've been waiting a month to read this title.
Right.
You keep putting Batman Eternal on the back burner. So I never finished it. Did you finish it?
No. I got to a point and that was it.
Bored?
Well, I got working on another comic and that one I just... I don't know what happened, actually. I probably will pick it up again later.
Okay. Yeah. Did you continue reading Batman from Scott Snyder? The guys who wrote Court of Owls?
No, I just read that one series. I haven't read since then.
Okay.
Is it good?
That's been a consistently good, some good to great book. On my list, I have that listed there. They did a really big story with the Joker again called Endgame, where this was like... It was written almost as the death of Joker and Batman together. Like, this was their grand finale of a story. So if anybody wants to read a cool Batman Joker story or has been reading and they're behind on this series, this is a good one to pick up. It's one to be remembered. Mm-hmm. Even Batman and Robin, the title Batman and Robin, there was a series called The Hunt for Robin where Batman was trying to resurrect Damian because mm-hmm. he had been murdered. So there's a whole quest of him putting together a team and trying to find a way to resurrect him and going to, you know, another apocalypse and facing off against Darkseid. Mm. It was a lot of fun. But what was really nice about it was seeing them reunite when it finally comes to and seeing that. It always sounded silly for Batman to have a biological son, but now that it's been around for so long, it's a really good fit and a great way to expand on that universe. So that was fun. Mm-hmm. Have you read any Star Wars comics?
I'm starting to read the really old ones, like the initial ones. And I find them hard to get through. Like, I'll read maybe, like, the comic books are not big. They're like maybe 10 pages long, maybe 8 pages.
Like mini stories?
Yeah, they're really small back then. And the style is very, you know, old school. It's like the Archie comics.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of cool to go back that far knowing that it's going to continually change as it gets closer to now. But it's tough to muscle through the beginning because the stories don't make any sense.
Do you feel that there's a continuity with it, or are they just like little mini adventures?
Well, like they're running away from the stormtroopers, but they don't really explain why. And there's some weird animals on the planet, but you don't understand why. But they do look like they're going somewhere with it. I don't know why. So I think that's something that once I figure it out, maybe it'll kind of keep me going a bit more.
Is it one of those things that because you know what you know now about Star Wars, none of this stuff really fits into what you know it to be now? Is that part of the problem?
Well, I'd say for sure, because, I mean, they're talking about Darth Vader, but, I mean, a little, like, literally, you think that the battle on Hoth that happens between the first A New Hope and that one, like, you feel like they're happening so quickly, but in these stories, like, tons of time have gone by in between them, so it is a little bit strange.
Okay, like disjointed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I highly recommend, this is my pick of the year, the Jason Aaron, as well as the Kieran Gillen Star Wars titles. Jason Aaron's writing the main Star Wars title. It takes place immediately after A New Hope. I think I've told you a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. So imagine immediately after the throne room scene, the next adventure right after, maybe a day or a week later. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, what Darth Vader was dealing with or doing after the... Oh, do you have it there? Have you read it?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay. It's highly funny. Recommend it. I initially jumped on it because this is the year Star Wars is coming out and these comics should be a hot item and let's see what they're like. Good writers. It turns out to have been the most consistently good title from the major publisher. It's been great. I highly recommend it. I just finished reading the second trade of it, of Star Wars.
Cool.
So, and the spin-offs of like, they have a Lando series, a Chewbacca series, a Leia series, but they're giving it all to the best writers. Mm. So it's been consistently top-notch book.
Are they going to stick with that time period, or are they going to move it?
I think they're going to move it. Like, they have stories of Lando before he becomes in charge of the Sky City. Mm. So there's that story there. Right. They have a new series of Obi-Wan and Anakin, some of their adventures.
Okay.
And then what I really like about the Darth Vader and Star Wars line is that they're taking place at the exact same time, and they kind of cross over into where Darth Vader was at that time. And sometimes you see the other angle of that same scene being told in different books, which is really cool. So to see them keep that tight-knit storytelling, but all make sense, it's a really good book. And everybody's on a Star Wars high right now. Mm-hmm. So to have good product associated with it, it's nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of Star Wars, talk about movies. What was your favorite movie of the year or movies, 2015?
So, it's funny. The main thoughts came to my mind were Age of Ultron.
Okay.
Was my first favorite because I think that's, you know, when it came out was before, and then Star Wars. So Star Wars I still like more. I felt more excited to see it than Age of Ultron, but Age of Ultron was a very good start to the year, it felt like. That was in, like, springtime, I think.
Yeah, I think it came out in May, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So, you felt Age of Ultron... Because some people are starting to have that... Age of Ultron wasn't that great, and, you know, that sort of lackluster thing to it. When it initially came out, everybody was excited. They liked it. And now, as time has gone on, people are kind of dogging it a little bit.
No, I thought it was great. I liked James Spader. That was... I mean, his character in that, like, even though it was just his voice.
No,
it was awesome.
Voice acting is just as legitimate.
There's lots of, like they had more fun in the episode, or in the movie, than they did in the first one. It seemed like where the characters were now together, they were a unit, and they knew what they were supposed to do. And they also knew each other's idiosyncrasies at the same time, which I liked better. Now they're more of a team.
So did you like this better than the first Avengers? As a sequel, people are always it's never as good as the first one. How was it for you?
It was so different. Like, the first one is they're getting together, and the second one is now they're together and they're going to do something. I liked their team play together in the second one better than the first one. There wasn't any new characters that I liked. Like, for example, Vision. He wasn't like...
Didn't blow your socks off.
No, like, right. Whatever. Okay, he's a guy with a power stone over that's called in his head. And I was like, okay, that's cool. But it wasn't like, oh, wow, I love this character. Whereas in the first one, that's where you're finding all these characters and how they're working together and how you like that. Second one's, now they're a team.
Okay. So it's like that... When you watch the Spider-Man story, the Batman story, it's like, okay, we gotta sit through the origin.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, and now we have everything flushed out, developed. Mm-hmm. We're into the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it as well. So that and Star Wars for you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything in between that's notable mention, honorable mention, I should say.
That's a good question. I couldn't think of anything at the time when I was going through these.
Do you remember all the movies you saw? Because I had a hard time. There was a portion of the... I was saying to Daft J, I'm like, you know, it's June, July, and I feel like I haven't been to the theater at all. Just like maybe 3 or 4 times. And then when you look back at what came out and you see what a successful... This is one of the most successful years that they've had in Hollywood of how many big movies
they had. I did have one more.
What was it?
Inside Out. I love that movie. That was well done.
A lot of people love this movie.
Yeah.
What was it about it for you that stood out for a Pixar film amongst all the other great Pixar films?
They really did stick to the idea that they took something that you wouldn't normally think about and they made a whole movie about it. So that to me is pretty awesome. The scenes where they're showing how people think, how fathers think, how mothers think, how this little girl is thinking. And you're watching something happen. And in the movie, it's really like, you can't believe it's happening. But then when you see what's happening in her life at the same time, all of those things make sense. So you're not really sad about them. You just know that they have to happen. And I like that. You're watching it and you're getting really upset that this is going to happen. But you go, wait a minute. No, this has to happen. Because she's getting older. This is different. It was really cool. I really like that. They have you thinking at the same time as enjoying and laughing at a movie.
Yeah, I think it's a stroke of genius how they're able to craft a movie that is humorous and appealing to a child audience, but can make the adult sitting with them learn something, but also cry through it. Because they really... It puts everything into perspective for an older person or a parent with kids, but even life lessons for a young one. Like, mm-hmm. how they're able to balance that to make... Because I went to watch that... I actually think I went to watch it on my own. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to go with Daft J. She was... I don't think she wanted to see it because she knew that it would... Certain scenes in it would probably bother her, get her too emotional.
Right.
But... Yeah, it was well done. Mm-hmm. Really good movie. Is there any other animated films that had come out this year? I'm trying to think of something that it's not coming to my mind now. I'm drawing a blank. Maybe I didn't see it. Did you end up seeing Good Dinosaur?
No.
No, that was another one that got... It was well received, but I didn't hear as much about it as Inside Out.
Mm-hmm.
Inside Out was a pretty huge hit.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Taylor Swift, Pitch Perfect 2 came out in 2015.
Was that one that you rushed to the theater for?
No, we watched it later. It was funny. Very, very funny show. We liked the first one. It's definitely a couples show.
No, it definitely has its following. Oh, people who've seen it and who like it, they all agree that it's a really fun franchise now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that in theaters?
No, we saw it later.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, looking back, we went to watch Tomorrowland together. That was mm-hmm. fun. That was a bit of a surprise. Some people that didn't get a lot of adulation, didn't do too well in the box office,
mm-hmm.
but I liked it. I thought it had a lot of...
It was a cool story.
Yeah, it had a lot of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good adventure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what it was about it that didn't quite click with a wide audience. Maybe because, I don't know, what would you say? Was there anything about it for you that you kind of understood why a larger audience wouldn't flock to it, or was there...
I don't know. I really can't say.
Because George Clooney was in it,
yeah.
But it wasn't really his movie.
No.
It was a young people's movie.
Mm.
I don't know. I think... Maybe as time goes on, it might have one of those lives that maybe a Princess Bride has,
mm.
where after it's out of the theater, it gains a completely different type of following.
It's possible, yeah.
I think it has that potential. I was really, can't say surprised, but I was surprised with how well Jurassic Park did in the box office.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like that film?
It was fun, but for me it didn't add anything to the franchise.
Okay.
Like it was after the first and second one, I really feel like they're just retelling a similar story, which I guess you could say the same thing about Star Wars, but at the same time, I think that it was fun to watch, but not necessary.
Okay. What do you think it was about it that made it do so well after having been, you know, the first movie was a huge, huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
Second and third one, not so much.
Right.
So for them to now go back to the well of a franchise that was essentially dying, for it to be the biggest one of the four, what do you think it was that connected? Was it the fact that Star-Lord was the star of it?
I mean... I guess that could be that. I think it's the nostalgia still. Like, everyone wanted to see it. I wanted to see it. Just because it's the new Jurassic Park movie. So a whole bunch of people did that just because of that. And then, yeah, then there's the other things. They like the one person that's in it. Or there's this new big crazy creature. And then the commercials were done really well.
Yeah.
It was really awesome to see some of those. So I was looking forward to it based on the commercials, mostly.
Yeah, it was everything you wanted in a summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
You know, you go there, you get on a ride, you're in an amusement park, so you feel like you're part of this adventure, and there's the fear of being chased and monsters, and
mm-hmm.
it definitely was released at the right time and cashed in on the nostalgia, and a great trailer, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like Ant-Man?
I did.
Yeah?
To me, that's one of those stories that I know absolutely nothing about.
Yeah.
So just to watch it very fresh, I enjoyed it. Yeah, pretty much the whole time there's jokes, there's the... I think so. thinking back now. I just remember feeling like it was a fun story throughout.
I think you just got to think for Haley Atwell, because she was in Ant-Man, right? That? Agent Carter.
Oh, sorry.
She was in the beginning of it, right? Mm-hmm. Where does it rank for you amongst the other Marvel movies that had been released? Because I think it's the 12th or 13th now. I can't believe that. Yeah, that's crazy.
Then you have to rank through them all at that point. I'd say it's somewhere between. It's better than Iron Man 2.
Yeah, I think. Mm-hmm. I think
that not better than Iron Man 1.
No.
Not better than Captain America.
Which Captain America?
The first one.
Okay.
It's not better than that one, I feel. So what is there in between then?
Well, there's Winter Soldier.
I would say that'd be better than the first one.
Winter Soldier's better than Captain America. Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Guardians of the Galaxy.
That one to me is like, it feels like it shouldn't be part of that whole series.
Really?
It doesn't feel like you're watching a Marvel movie.
Really?
It looks like you're watching more of like a sci-fi space movie, more than Marvel.
Even with the tie-ins of the Infinity Gems and the Thanos and...
But yeah, that kind of stuff, again, it doesn't matter as much to me yet, because there's no point in it at this point, other than there's this special thing that has power.
Right.
To me, the rest of the movie had nothing to do with Marvel. That's how it felt.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
So, but like, with like a character, like even though Star-Lord, yeah, sure, he's a main character, but I felt Guardians of the Galaxy was more about Groot, and like he had a major role, but all of these other people in the that worked with him were almost as important.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an ensemble movie. I enjoyed Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good, not necessarily great.
Yeah.
I didn't rush to buy it on DVD like I did with some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
It was better than I expected, but kind of what I expected it to be.
Right.
It didn't blow my mind. So if I'm happy it exists, and I'm happy it's there as a part of the universe, but if it wasn't, I don't think I would have missed it.
That's true. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Whereas when I think of something like Guardians of the Galaxy, it's not something I ever knew I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be my favorite Marvel movie out of the bunch.
Very good. Yeah.
Like the replay value to that movie is, I don't know, I don't get tired of it because of the humor, because of the ensemble cast and these things that you didn't know that, I mean, it's almost like a Star Wars movie in a way,
mm-hmm.
right? In a lot of ways. But these characters that I saw that trailer. And I know this is 2014, and we're supposed to be talking about 2015, but I thought it was just a throwaway movie. Like, oh, they're just trying to be funny now. Get their hat into, like, some sort of comedic, right. Or the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting to see, because I played Marvel Universe, so it was interesting to play with Rocket Raccoon, where I had no clue who he was. But I had the character, and you have to build up the character's levels and whatever. So you're working through the character, just trying to... But I felt like after watching the movie, it made it more interesting. So I think that they tied in games as well as their movies really well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Groot's running around, and he's, like, the most powerful. Like, you're running around with your little gun, and then suddenly you have Groot running around with you, and he's crazy powerful in the game.
Right.
When you watch the movie... It's funny to watch how he works with him as a team. And it's cool. So, yeah, I think that since I knew more about that character than I did about anything else in the movie, which was, like, I had no idea who Star-Lord was until I watched the movie.
Yeah. It was one of those moments where it opened me up to the fact that, okay, they took a D-list group of characters and made me want to read the comics,
mm-hmm.
made me anticipate the sequel so much, they can't do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the other part of why I have such an affection for that movie, because it was that one that really stood out as, this is completely different, but they made it work so well. Ant-Man was good as a heist. It was like a heist movie. It had the comedic effect with Paul Rudd and Michael Peña. But I couldn't... For me, I didn't know... Like, when I watch Captain America, I know what I'm getting. When I watch mm-hmm. Iron Man, I know what type of movie to expect from it. With Ant-Man, I felt like it was trying to be so many different things
mm-hmm.
that I couldn't really connect to it the way I did with the other ones. Does that make sense? Like, there's sometimes they were trying to be really funny,
mm-hmm.
and then it would get serious with his relationship with the daughter. And I know that they always balance that, the Marvel movies, of like
mm-hmm.
getting all the aspects of real life, of emotions and people's relationships, but I just couldn't connect to it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that at all? Like,
I mean, do we really care about the character? I don't know.
Not so much the character, but connecting to the story. Like, when you watch Captain America Winter Soldier, you're locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And you are like, here, take all my money. I want to know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
With this one, I wasn't quite... I don't know.
No, that's true. Even the ending is kind of... Interstellar-ish. Right? Where you're like, what is this? Okay. Move on. But you don't really understand it. It's not really well explained. It's interesting.
Yeah. And I'm thinking maybe I'm not as big of a fan of characters who shrink and get really small as being, like, completely appealing. I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it, that it just didn't connect with me as much as the other ones did. But it was good. I don't want to sit here and say, oh, it was a failure, because it definitely wasn't. My favorite two movies, though, probably Star Wars, Force Awakens,
mm-hmm.
and Creed.
Haven't seen that yet.
Basically Rocky 7, but he is now a supporting character. He's not the main character. And I was excited for this movie because, one, it looked good, but being a seventh sequel... You figure that you have to know seven other movies, kind of like Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it was more of like a, you know, not a cult character, but Rocky isn't what Star Wars is today.
Mm-hmm.
It has its following.
Mm-hmm.
So I was excited to see it just for the fact that it's Rocky, but I left that theater really impressed at how wonderful of a film it was.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional. The way Rocky initially was meant to be, it really tugs at the heartstrings. It's really an underdog story of somebody who not necessarily is poor, trying to make it, but fighting their way through life to prove themselves, to prove their worth.
Mm.
And the character of Rocky Balboa, I don't know, I'm a sucker, a big sucker for it. Have you watched the other Rocky movies?
I've seen most of them.
Seen most of them?
I can't say I've seen all of them. I don't think I saw... Was it just called Balboa?
Rocky Balboa,
the last one, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Did you see Rocky 5? You don't need to see that one.
I don't think I've seen that one.
That's okay.
Okay.
That one was kind of... I heard it mentioned that it was kind of erased from the continuity of the movies with Rocky Balboa and this movie. They don't reference it. They don't make anything of that movie kind of matter.
Okay.
Everything else does. But... Even if you've never seen the other Rocky movies, this movie really stands out
for
the performances. It's a really good movie, and it, the same way that Force Awakens references stuff that people in the know would be happy and get nostalgic for, this does the same without it being a hindrance.
Right.
So, out of what I did see this year, which was a fair amount, I didn't see everything. I didn't see The Martian.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
I did.
What were your thoughts? Tell me about The Martian.
Okay, so I put that in the same boat as Interstellar, and I liked it better than Interstellar.
How come?
you could believe what's going on. You feel like, yeah, this, yeah, okay.
It seems that
it's,
way.
This isn't our timeline. This is in the future, which is the same as Interstellar, but it's the possible future as opposed to crazy, ridiculous, impossible future.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think it deserves the accolades it's getting for Film of the Year, director?
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We thought that it was going to be like just crazy nonstop suspense, but it's not. You're seeing some suspense. You're seeing a lot of his emotions, how he reacts to people after they've left him behind. So, I mean, it's interesting. I really like that one.
Yeah, and it, from what I was told, it's such a... It's like Castaway on Mars,
mm-hmm.
where it's him having to perform on his own. He's got no one to bounce off of,
mm-hmm.
which is a testament to how good of a performer Matt Damon is. So, yeah, it was on my must-see list, but for one reason or another, I didn't get to go around to the theater to watch it. And it got to the point where it's like, okay, maybe I'll just wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks go by, and you're like, I'll just wait for this one to come out. Mm-hmm. Did you see Fury 7? Me neither.
No.
Apparently, he made $1 billion, and people can't wait for Furious 8. I don't know why they're still so mad. Spectre?
Not yet.
If Spectre was okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good... It was fun for a Bond movie, but didn't stand out for me. How about Mission Impossible? That was surprisingly good.
Did you see Rogue Nation? No, I liked it.
That was good.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that it's holding up after... I think this is the fifth one. It's still... They're getting better. They're actually getting better than, like, from Mission Impossible 3 from J.J.
Mm-hmm.
Abrams,
mm-hmm.
they got better and better,
mm-hmm.
which is not the usual trend.
No, that's very true.
The first two Mission Impossibles are kind of, you watch them now, it's like, it doesn't age well.
The first one, yeah. The first one was cool as a kid, because that's when it came out. I was still a kid, I think.
Yeah.
And it was fun, but you're right, a lot of it is still rather cheesy.
Did you watch Hunger Games, any of the Hunger Games movies?
No.
Okay, that concluded this year.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good conclusion.
How did you feel compared to the books?
I thought it was one of the one movie franchise that adapted the books really well without you leaving being like, ah, that's so different. No, I never felt that at all. I'm like, that was... I almost feel the only thing different about the books to the movie is the perspective it's told from.
Hmm.
The books are all told from Katniss Everdeen's perspective, which is, it gives you a whole different context,
mm-hmm.
whereas the movies can't be told that way.
Right.
So you get to see a lot of things in the movie that she doesn't know about in the book happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like if a person says, I'll just watch this movie instead of read the books, you can kind of get away with that.
Okay.
With this one. So it does a good job, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Mad Max. I didn't watch Mad Max, but I heard it was like the best movie of the year.
Hmm.
Anything else that stands out to you? What did you think of Straight Outta Compton? No,
I did not see that. No, I haven't. I don't even know what that one's about.
Okay, that's about the NWA rap music group. Oh, I didn't see it either, but that's their biopic.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic Four, I heard, was the biggest waste of time
mm-hmm.
in the world, which mm-hmm. is disappointing.
Haven't seen that one.
Me neither. And I think I'm going to make an effort not to see it.
Mm. Boycott it?
Pardon?
Boycott it?
I've been told by a lot of respectable places where they're like, even if you want to see just how bad it is, don't bother. Like, you're just, it's going to be 2 hours, or you're just not going to get back, and it's just going to frustrate you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about, to end it all out, why don't we go through what we're looking forward to in 2016?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know so much what's happening on the music end, but mm-hmm. movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of big movies coming out. What are you most excited for?
So, Batman versus Superman,
mm-hmm.
Captain America Civil War, and Rogue One.
Those are your top three.
Top three, yeah.
Okay. You've pretty much listed everything that...
And as you keep going, there's other good ones too. Maybe I'm not... You know what? Maybe I might take out... Well, see, it's tough when you have three. I'm not sure if I want to see Jungle Book more.
Wow.
That one's up there.
I think that one is going to be one of the ones that you want to see, but it's not a Star Wars. It's not Batman v Superman, mm-hmm. but it ends up being that Inside Out.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, yeah. you know, that movie that wasn't necessarily on your list that ends up being the best one. Finding Dory? Are you Finding Nemo? Did you like that movie?
I liked it. It didn't resonate as much as others did, like quoting it all the time. I really didn't get into that.
Okay, so it won't be your...
I'll watch it.
It won't be like an In-N-Out.
No.
Angry Birds movie.
That one's stupid.
No interest.
When I saw that, I'm like, they're just running out of ideas, or they're just jumping on the bandwagon. Like, Warcraft, for some reason, is doing that too. I don't know why. I don't know why they have to make a movie out of that.
Yeah. I guess because there's an audience. But it always looks like one of those things where it's like, that can't be... It can't turn out well.
Mm-hmm.
Secret Life of Pets, that looked like a lot of fun.
Actually, that was funny too.
That looked like a lot of fun. Definitely Batman v Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they don't get it right, that's it. They're toast. Yeah. Their movie universe is done. What did you think of the trailer?
For which one?
Batman v Superman.
Which one? There's a couple
of trailers. The latest one where they showed Doomsday at the end. And you got Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman all in that clip.
Yeah.
What did you think?
It's going to be awesome. I think they're going to do it well. I really liked... I mean, we talked about that before, but where that parts of it were pulled from, right? I really liked that. I didn't read it. Actually, I watched that one. So I'm looking forward to, even if there's some of the scenes from that, I'm looking forward to.
Do you think it'll do well in the box office? Do you think it'll make money? They're saying this is, I could be wrong, one of the most expensive movies. Like, they're throwing everything at it. It's like $500 million.
They're going to struggle if they come out at the same time as another Marvel movie.
They're coming out before. They're coming out March.
It's smart. That's smart.
About 2 months away. I can't believe it. I can't believe it's almost that time to watch it.
Mm-hmm. No, I think they'll do well as long as they don't come out at the same time as another box office movie, because people will want to go to the movies for a month. So, I mean, it'll definitely do well. And then I guess it's the rewatching value, which I don't know if it'll have. That's what we'll have to figure out.
See, I thought Man of Steel was going to be huge. And it was big. It was respectable, but it didn't do Dark Knight numbers. I don't think it made a billion.
So many people couldn't stand the footage of it. Like when he's flying, it felt like I was watching the third Matrix movie. Where you're just like, I don't care anymore.
It's too CGI'd for you?
Yeah, way too CGI-ish. You're just like... And it's, some of the scenes are cool, so maybe it's not just the scenes. I actually can't put a specific thing as to why it didn't go so well. I enjoyed it, but I would have rather them stayed on Krypton. That was a cool place. That was a really interesting world.
It's interesting. I want to do an episode just talking about the Man of Steel movie, because it's such a... You got two camps. You've got the ones who... It angers them and it frustrates them with the direction they took Superman. And then you got the other ones who thought it was really great take. They liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of in the middle. Because I liked it a lot. And then there's other parts of it that kind of irritated me a lot as well. So I want to do an episode and get people's opinions on it. Especially being so close to the... Not so much the sequel, but the next stage in this story. Getting all revved up for it. Deadpool. It looks like it's going to be a good film. Very inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Civil War, that trailer looks like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mini Avengers movie. Did you see X-Men Apocalypse, the trailer for that?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think? Tired of X-Men movies?
Yeah, I haven't really enjoyed the last ones as much as, I guess, like the First Class and then Days of Future Past. Yeah, no, they were good. I mean, I'm sure they'll do well. They have to. Because I was thinking I didn't like them, but that's not really true. I didn't like the last of the first series of
right.
them.
Yeah.
That one I didn't like. But then after that, no, it did actually get much better.
Yeah.
So if they continue on with that, I'll be pretty okay with it.
Yeah, I hope this one... Oh, it was Bryan Singer who did Days of Futures Past, and I thought that was the best of the X-Men movies.
Mm.
So if they keep going with that tone and that type of storytelling with the right director, with a good vision,
mm.
it should be good. I think with the Marvel Cinematic Universe on the Disney end, they really opened up the door to, hey, this is a guy in a red and yellow armored suit. It's got to look like what it's got to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the X-Men movies, when they originally came out, was everybody was in the leather, black right. leather. Nobody could look bright. Nobody mm-hmm. could. It had to look... No one wants to see someone in a costume. That was their attitude then. Now it's like, where's their costume?
Right.
So if now the X-Men kind of are comfortable with making their characters look like X-Men characters, I think it'll continue to live on.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide Squad. I'm really hopeful for Suicide Squad.
I'm not sure if... I feel like it could go really good or really... cheesy quickly, because like some of the characters, Will Smith hasn't really been in a really great movie. I didn't see that one yet, the Concussion, what's that, what it's called, or
I heard he was Oscar worthy.
Okay, so that one, maybe his roles are better, but it seems like his choices hasn't been very good. So the fact that he's in this one makes me think that hopefully he does a better job in this one. I don't know.
Are you going to see it?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Do you like how Jared Leto looks as the Joker?
Yeah. Yeah. It's different. It's different.
It has to be, right? You can't... If he treads on any other sort of performance, even close, people are going to... Oh, what are you trying to be, Heath Ledger?
Yeah.
You've got to really... That character specifically, you've got to carve out your niche for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Rogue One. That's a... Whew, end the year with that. I don't know. It's a little prequel-esque, but mm-hmm. I want to...
Did you see the trailer for that?
There's a trailer for it?
It's a leaked trailer.
There's a trailer for it.
Where you don't see any flying, you don't see any people. It's just a camera angle going through this ravine. And then as the camera goes up, you see the Death Star as a moon in the background.
No.
That's all you see.
No.
So... If you guys can find it, it is really good.
Man.
It's worth a watch, even though it's a shaky camera.
I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue One comes out next December. 6 months later, Episode 8. This is great.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad they didn't stick with a 3-year.
Oh,
that'd be crazy.
It's a good time to be alive for movies and television shows, because you've got, look at it, just in the first couple months, Batman, Captain America, X-Men, Suicide Squad,
mm-hmm.
Rogue One, Independence Day. We've mm-hmm. been waiting forever to watch another Independence yeah. Day movie because they don't show it enough on television.
Right.
and Will Smith is not going to be in that one. Alice in Wonderland. Did you like the original Alice in Wonderland?
The original? Or
Tim
the
Burton.
Tim Burton ones. Yeah, no, I like that one.
No, this is another Tim
Which
Burton one.
Which one? Huntsman one? Which one is it?
Through the Looking Glass.
Oh,
Alice in Wonderland, directed by James Bobbin, produced by Tim Burton, and music composed by your boy, Danny Elfman.
Really?
Yep.
So he's back in it again. Very interesting.
Did you know that was coming out?
No, I didn't.
There you go, you see?
It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. Should be a good year. 2015 was good, and it was the year that Doc and Marty went back in time.
That's right.
Epic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's our year wrap up. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If there's things that we left out that you liked, let us know about it. We want to hear everybody's take on what was good, recommendations on whether it's books to read, music to find, because we didn't have a lot of music mm-hmm. from 2015. And tell us your movies, stuff that we missed out on. We didn't see Mad Max, and everybody's saying that that was the must-see of the year. So if you've seen it and you've got something to share about it, send us an email at caveofsolitude@outlook.com or a message at caveofsolitude.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening to our year-end wrap-up. Next week, we will have Jack J back in Cave of Solitude. And we thanks our wild cards for coming back and paying us a visit and going through this week. It was a blast.
Happy to be here.
All right, everybody. Thank you again for listening. I'm Eric Anthony signing off, and we will talk to you soon.